Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, I hope everyone had a good Easter weekend. We had a fabulous time up in the Dalles, which is a resort area here in Wisconsin with lots of water parks. We used to take our grandkids up there when they were little. First time since the pandemic. They're now older, but we still had a great time. I hope you and your family did as well. Meanwhile, with regard to Europe and the Ukraine situation, the former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, has observed Ukraine will disappear. Nobody in the world, even its own citizen, really cares about country 404. Ukraine will disappear because its Western bankers, the rest of the world, even its own citizens, have no need for the troubled country to continue to exist. Why would Ukraine disappear? Because nobody needs it, Medvedev, who now holds the position of deputy head of Russia's Security Council, wrote in a post Saturday. EU doesn't need Ukraine because supporting the country amid the conflict with Russia on the order of their American mentor plunged the Europeans into a real financial and political hell. I think that's such a great point. Detrimental anti-Russian sanctions, spiking inflation, high energy prices, and the decay of business have already led to protests in various parts of the country. In Europe, he's pointing out, Russia has been thriving. The prospect of decisively planting Ukrainian blood-sucking parasites on the neck of the shriveling EU is real, and if it happens, it's going to signal the demise of the bloc. Why are the Russians the only one who is speaking the truth? You can't hear any of this from any European or American political figure or commentator. They're bearing the truth, and it's just so colossally stupid. We cannot know the right thing to do if we do not know the truth, and they are not willing to share it. Kiev prime backer, the U.S., doesn't need Ukraine either. Because most ordinary Americans have no idea where it's located and consider it some abstract part of Russia. They wonder why the establishment in the U.S. isn't trying to deal with inflation and the lack of jobs or emergencies in their home states, but is instead occupied with this 404 country, the former president was referring to the 404 error protocol. In network communication, you try to go somewhere and you can't find it. Only political demagogues in Washington who have long conceded their impotence and dementia are trying to make PR gains from military and sanctioned campaigns, he added. Africa and Latin America reject Ukraine because the billions the U.S. is wasting on senseless battles somewhere in Ukraine would have been enough to fund many social development programs in those regions. Asian countries, and by the way, the 54 of them met in an African Unity Conference, all 54 countries voted not to support any war against Russia. How intelligent. They're smarter there than we have anyone here in the USA. Asian countries don't need Ukraine because through the example of the conflict between Moscow and Kiev, they see how the technologies of colored revolutions are being developed to eliminate the largest competing powers. They understand what scenario the collective West, led by the U.S., and prepared for them in case of disobedience. Besides, Russia is much closer to such nations as China and India in a geopolitical sense and historically proven to be their reliable partner. Russia doesn't need Ukraine because the country is a mistake created by the collapse of the Soviet Union, Mendevit also explained. Millions of our compatriots who live here have for many years been subjected to abuse by the Nazi Kiev regime. It's them we're protecting in the course of this special military operation. Finally, Ukraine, with its Nazi elite at the helm, is not needed by its own citizens. That's why, out of 45 million, a little more than 20 million remain there now. The Ukrainians don't want to help President Zelensky and his associate put even more stolen Western money in their offshore accounts. Instead, they're eager to move to Poland or elsewhere in the EU to become the 52nd state of the U.S. or even join the Penguins in Antarctica. I like that. 52nd state of the U.S. That's the way Biden's treating them. Get this. Latest Ukraine package includes cash to buy 23 million rounds of ammo. The Pentagon on Tuesday announced more than $2.6 billion worth of additional American military assistance for Ukraine. Added to this package is another $2.1 billion in Ukrainian Security Assistance Initiative funds, which are U.S. taxpayer dollars earmarked to buy equipment and services from the commercial market. From the commercial market. These aren't U.S. manufactured weapons. These are being bought from the commercial market to support the war effort in Ukraine. Among the funds are more than 23 million rounds of small arms ammunition, which could dry up supplies of some common ammo types on the consumer market. This is over and above 150 million rounds of small-arm ammo already allocated from U.S. supplies and purchased for the Ukrainian forces. As the news reported, that $2.1 billion of our taxpayer money is earmarked to buy more than 23 million rounds of ammo from the commercial market. Because that ammo is coming from the commercial market, that's going to include all the same ammo makers you and I buy from in short. It sounds like another ammo shortage in the making. If you don't yet have enough ammo, and none of us do, then I'd consider stocking up now before the shortage starts driving the prices of ammo here in the United States. Meanwhile, U.S. tells Europe, send us more business or go to hell. the country that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline that were to supply cheap Russian gas to Europe is now threatening Europe to become sanctioned by America unless they cut off all business with Russia. The government, the U.S. government, tells them to cut off. How disgusting is this? According to a report by Fortune on April 7th under the headline, America has a message for countries and companies still doing business with Russia. You're with us or against us. Gee, where have we heard that before? Top sanctions officials from the U.S. Treasury Department plan special international trips this month to pressure firms and countries still doing business with Russia to cut off financial ties because of the war in Ukraine. The message is that those working with the Russian government was decided, one, continue to provide Moscow with material support, two, or keep doing business with countries that represent 50% of the global economy. Those are the choices to be laid out, senior Treasury official told reporters on a call Friday. They spoke on a condition of anonymity to review the travel plan. Listen to this. The United States is so falling apart, military, economically, morally, every possible way. We have to try to bully our own allies to survive. In other words, Biden's incompetence. And believe me, I'm convinced destruction of the United States has been the agenda. They ought to be celebrating we're falling apart. We can't even defend ourselves. Idiotic. This is war against Russia, and the U.S. government is telling Europeans to the extent they won't be on America's side, it'll also be a war against them, a war against Europeans. The U.S. government is demanding, send us more business or go to hell. They aren't telling them to switch their business to Russia's allies. If they would be doing that, says it, by trading more with China, and U.S. sanctions will apply against China, too. So that business wouldn't be able to last long. The U.S. government is indirectly saying, in your business, our way or else. America is demanding its NATO allies on the other side of the Atlantic. Choose which side you're on, ours or theirs. For example, buy more of our liquefied natural gas that we condense and containerize and ship across the Atlantic to you at four times or more the cost of what you would have from Russia or suffer the consequences. This is so bad. This is so blatant. This is such bullying tactics. This is United States on the world stage. This is what we have become. If it's instead manufactured goods that are involved that America is demanding, buy them from us in countries we approve, countries that are us, not them, or else we'll cut you off and do what we in Norway, which is the main beneficiary of having loaded up the Nord Stream, did to Nord Stream. Cut off your sources of supply by force that you won't cut off on your own voluntarily. This is a new free world of American vassal nations. And if you're now with us and doing what we demand you do, then you are supporting authoritarian regimes. And we are against those, and we'll be at war with them, never at peace with them, and we won't be at peace with you or any other enemy. So you are either with us or you are against us. Choose. And we will then know whether to sell you our weapons or instead use them against you. We will not relax in support of the free world, and neither will you, or else. I mean, my God, think of it. This is what the United States has become. This is the same American it has been ever since George W. Bush announced the world on 16 February 2002. Either you're with us or you're against us. Being an ally of America now means being a slave to America. And anyone who's not is America's enemy. This is the basic message of today's U.S. President Joe Biden, as Fortune observes. Treasury officials Liz Rosenberg and Brian Nelson specialist in sanctions and terrorist financing, will travel to Europe this month to meet with leaders of financial institutions in Switzerland, Italy, and Germany. They plan to share intelligence on potential sanctions evaders and warn of the potential penalties for failure to comply with international sanctions. Rosenberg will also make a stop in the former Soviet Republic of Kazakhstan towards the country's private businesses, not to provide material or intelligence apart to the Kremlin. Kazakhstan is the longest border of any nation with Russia, 7,599 kilometers, 4,721 miles long. Unlike the existing NATO nations, which are to Russia's west, it is to Russia's south. China has the second longest, 4,209 kilometer, 2,615 mile border with Russia. And the Biden admin is now preparing to go to war against China too, putting increasing pressure on Europe to trade less for that soon to be officially designated foreign adversary of the United States. It's not up to strangulate Russia from the west, threatening to do it also from the south, and soon Europeans will be required to participate. America wants the entire world to strangle Russia and then strangle China. I hate to tell you, it ain't going to happen. The world is siding with Russia and China, rightfully so. What's going to be strangled by all this is the United States. So, question for Europeans now, which side are you on? Are you against Russia and ultimately China? Are you instead against America's government, which doesn't represent the American people? Not even the American people are for America's government. Even the American people are against America's government. Meanwhile, down in Tennessee, ousted legislators want their jobs back. The expulsion leaves 140,000 without representation. Two reps, I guess, each representing about 70,000 people. Nashville. Two former black Democrat lawmakers who were expelled by Republican colleagues in Tennessee say they want to be reappointed and elected back to their seats after their ouster for a protest on the House floor, urging passage of gun control measures following a deadly school shooting. Now, the fact that the deadly school shooting was completely fake, totally phony, utterly fraudulent, the facts don't matter. They want to grab our guns. And by the way, let me emphasize here, they weren't censured for protesting for gun control. However, stupid, ignorant, uninformed, colossally moronic that may be, and it's all of the above, they were censured because they did it on the floor of the House. They did it because it was on the floor of the House. They violate basic procedural protocols. That is why they were evicted. Nashville's Metro Council is likely to reappoint Justin Jones to the seat during a special meeting called today. Mickey Lowry, chairman of the Shelby County Commission, says statement. The panel will consider at a meeting Wednesday whether to reappoint Justin Pearson from Memphis to his seat. Lowry said he understands the need to respond to those who transgress the rules of the State House of Representatives. Well, they never explained what the hell that was because he did it on the floor of the House. They never spelled that out. Why? Because that would mean they actually did break the rules. They actually did deserve to be expelled. All they want, you know, is they're black and they favor gun control. So it's supposed to be a malicious act by the Republicans when, in fact, it was simply enforcing the rules of the House for propriety, for decorum. However, I believe the expulsion, this is Lowry, of State Representative Justin Pearson was conducted in a hasty manner without consideration of other corrective action methods. I also believe the ramifications for our great state are yet to be seen. Both lawmakers still haven't seen meet the press. Chuck Todd, being a convenient mouthpiece, I used to think he had a functioning brain, but he's turned into nothing but a propaganda mouthpiece. They want to return to their positions as lawmakers. No doubt they did. Special election for the seat which have yet to be set will follow in the coming months. And they're all for not suffering any penalty for doing something colossally stupid, namely protesting on the floor. The expulsion made Tennessee a new front in the battle for the future of American democracy. How's this a battle for the future of American democracy? The former lawmakers have quickly drawn prominent supporters. President Joe Biden, the complete walking cadaver, and Vice President Harris, brainless twit, was a natural, a prominent supporter. God, if Biden and Harris are on your side, you're in deep trouble. You know, we will continue to fight for our constituents, Jones said. And one thing I want to say, this attack against us is hurting all people in our state, you know. Even though it is disproportionately impacting black and brown communities, this is hurting poor white people. Their attack on democracy hurts all of us. Well, why did you do something this stupid? In separate votes, the GOP supermajority Thursday expelled Jones and Pearson, a move leaving about 140,000 voters in primarily black districts in Nashville and Memphis with no representation in the House. They were expelled for their role in the protests a week before, which unfolded after a school shooting in Nashville that killed six people. Yes, three and three for 33 at an address with the 33 with 33 teachers. Including three students and three adults, a shooter was killed by. It was all totally fake. Man, was it totally fake. When driving up, the parking lot's empty. When breaking in, the alarm goes off. No one rushes anywhere. You never see anyone in the building anywhere. What's the most reasonable explanation? You don't see anyone anywhere in the building or any parking in the lot because nobody was there. It was closed. Then they're wearing one kind of sneakers coming in, another when they're shot down, one kind of camo coming in, another kind of camo shot. It's just absurd. No recoil on the rifles, no ricochet, no bullet marks. I mean, this is as phony and fake as it comes. I actually think this lawmaking protest may have been a deliberate distraction from the catastrophe of the amateurish performance. A third Democrat. Representative Gloria Johnson in Knoxville was spared expulsion by one vote. She's white, sprained an outcry at the differing outcomes. Republicans who split their vote have cited her points on the floor that her role was lesser. She didn't speak into the megaphone, for example. Johnson also suggested race was likely a factor why Jones and Pearson were ousted, but not her. Saying it might have to do with the color of our skin. Who gives an F? Republican House Speaker Cameron Sexton appropriately said that's a false narrative. It's unfortunate. She's trying to put political racism in this, but there was nothing on it, he told Fox. GOP leaders said the expulsion action, used only a handful of times since the Civil War, were necessary to avoid setting precedent that lawmakers' disruptions of House proceedings. See? Disruption of House proceedings. It was because it was in the House that this was objected to. Would be tolerated. It had nothing to do with the color of their skin. Wow. Here's one of my tweets about this. Our transnational shooter changed his or her sneakers during his or her assault on a Christian school. How dumb are we supposed to be? Glad to see many are pointing out absurdities of these stage events, which the Dems use to promote their agenda. How bad is that? And by the way, I've tweeted. The American Federation of Teachers is going all out to grab guns. Now, I've tweeted to them. I mean, how dumb are they supposed to be? ATFHO, do you do any research before you take stands like grabbing our guns? Do you know 200,000 lives are saved annually by the defensive use of guns versus around 35,000 lost to gun violence? Do you look at school shootings and see if they're real or fake? I mean, this is bad. Embarrassing stuff. We got so many morons out there who are affecting the politics of the United States who have no idea what they're talking about. Here's a good one. Appeals court calls into question hundreds of January 6 prosecutions. There's an interesting development in the prosecution of the January 6 rioters. A three-judge appeal court has ruled 2-1. The Justice Department can proceed with several hundred cases where defendants are charged with obstructing an official proceeding for the time being. What has to be decided is whether or not about 300 rioters acted with corrupt intent in invading the Capitol building during an official proceeding. In all three appeal court judges question whether the prosecution had interpreted corrupt intent on the part of the rioters correctly. What seems esoteric is actually crucial to the defense of hundreds of January 6 rioters. The corrupt intent standard does not apply to those who are charged with assaulting police. But those who are charged only with obstructing Congress, how that term is defined could mean the choice between liberty or 20 years in prison. 20 effing years. Here's Politico, which is biased left wing, to which I shall return.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as I was observing, there's a crucial legal question at the heart of the prosecution of the January 6th alleged perpetrators. Most of them were utterly innocent. We know the whole thing was a con job. The point is, there's a legal issue here they're stuck with. As even Politico, which is admittedly left-wing in its orientation, is acknowledging. At the heart of the conflict is how to measure whether the January 6th rioters acted with corrupt intent, a central element in the crime of obstructing an official proceeding. The judges noted the requirement of corrupt intent was meant to avoid inadvertently criminalizing traditional protester lobbying activities that have been a feature of civic engagement throughout American history. I emphasize, the requirement of corrupt intent is meant to avoid inadvertently criminalizing traditional protester lobbying activities that have been a feature of civic engagement throughout American history. Amen to that. Obviously, that's what was going on for the overwhelming majority of these parties. They had no criminal corrupt intent, and therefore they're not going to be guilty, and yet they've been incarcerated already. Any decision on the meaning of corrupt intent would have to separate those legitimate activities from potential criminal conduct, as though that should not have been obvious from the beginning. But Judge Florence Pan, the majority opinion said it was the wrong time to decide that broad question, because the three detainees whose cases were before the court were all also charged with assaulting police. There's little question those who assaulted police that day acted with a corrupt intent. But in January 6 obstruction cases that don't involve assault, determining corrupt intent is much more complicated. I mean, give me a break. This whole thing has been such a farce. And besides, what the principle, you know, of letting 10 guilty men go free, lest one innocent person be wrongly convicted. It is more prudent to delay addressing the meaning of corrupt intent until that issue is properly presented to the court, a Biden-appointed judge wrote. The immediate effect of the ruling was a reversal of a decision by U.S. District Court Judge Carl Nichols, who determined that obstruction charges were being improperly applied to the January 6th defendants. The appeals court disagreed only because a corrupt intent standard had not been defined. The stakes for the Department of Justice and main January 6th defendants are enormous. In fact, the entire theory the DOJ has been using to prosecute all but a handful may be blown up by a different interpretation of corrupt intent. Pat noted that prior cases have defined corrupt intent in multiple ways. The Supreme Court has previously described acting corruptly as doing something wrongful, immoral, depraved, or evil. Late Justice Antonin Scalia defined corrupt acts as those done to bring about either an unlawful result or a lawful result by some unlawful method, with a hope or expectation of either financial gain or other benefit to oneself or a benefit of another person. None of these are going to apply. Second Judge Walker, a Trump appointee, agreed with Pan's conclusion but adopted a narrower interpretation of corrupt intent. A defendant must intend to obtain a benefit he knows is unlawful. None of this is going to work against January 6th. Defense attorneys for January 6th defendants are already pouring over Walker's analysis. Nicholas Smith, who argued the case on behalf of three January 6th defendants before the appellate court panel in December, said that if Walker's contention is correct, his narrower definition of corrupt intent is already the binding opinion of the court. This is a problem of the Justice Department's own making. They wanted to use the obstruction charge as a sword hanging over the head of January 6th rioters to get them to plead down. Facing 20 years in prison, most of the defendants took the deal. If hundreds of rioters are freed, DOJ and the Department admin will be facing a nearly unprecedented backlash, as they say in politics. Very bad optics. These people are all so disgusting anyway. By the way, Mitchell was all over that difference between the white woman who wasn't expelled and the two blacks who were. She was the only one who brought a lawyer to defend her. Very, very good. Very nice point, Mitchell. Thank you. Meanwhile, James Woods blasts Democrats for the dangerous game they're playing with this Trump witch hunt. He sacrificed his acting career in Hollywood in order to speak his mind. And Woods blasted Democrats for the dangerous game they're playing with this Donald Trump witch hunt. Democrats and their media allies have escalated their obsession with throwing former President Trump in prison. Alvin Bragg, the George Soros-backed Manhattan district attorney, brought pathetic charges against Trump related to the Stormy Daniels saga that hasn't been relevant in years. Meanwhile, President Biden's calamitous foreign policy has driven Russia into the arms of communist China. And actor James Wood called out a farce. It is a current political moment. No public trial for a presidential candidate, Woods tweeted. So even the information stream will be strangled, and that's controlled by one political party. The most grievous attack on the checks and balances inherent in our Constitution play right out of the gate. Woods later tweeted a Fox News article about Chinese nuclear submarines. China and Russia colluding to carve up the world is what the puppet masters pulling the strings in the White House should be concerned about. Instead, they're ghost-hosting a dog and pony show in New York while our president naps. A Fox article linked by Wood reported the Pentagon announcing the discovery in a little-known report of late November last year. China maintains a fleet of six nuclear-capable submarines carrying missiles that could hit the continental United States from the South China Sea, Fox reported. Analysts say China's new policy will place further strain on U.S. and allied forces in the region as they attempt to track China's vessels. While Democrats and the entire legacy media apparatus have mobilized to advance Democrat narrative on their witch hunt to Trump, freedom's biggest enemies are making strategic moves. We're going to want to have our nuclear-powered attack sub trying to tail them. So the extra demands on our assets are clear, said the Naval Postgraduate School Christopher Twomey. The point here is that the information a near continuous patrols has changed so rapidly, we don't know what else has changed. After 7 years of one bombshell after another, Democrats have been all their hopes on an indictment so flimsy, even CNN has called it underwhelming. Underwhelming. Meanwhile, this is a very positive development in Utah. The U.S. attorney in Utah has given the anti-vax movement the greatest gift ever. They charged Kirk Moore with a crime. Dr. Moore is allowed to discovery to prove his innocence. This means he gets access to VSD, Medicare, NDIs, state death and vaccination record. Whoops! Very nice. This is from Steve Kirsch, who's very, very good. The U.S. attorney has given Dr. Kirk Moore the right to request state and federal public health records. Now the truth will finally be exposed. Dr. Moore can single-handedly do something nobody else has been able to do. Expose the corruption and end the COVID vaccine in the U.S. and worldwide. Executive summary. The U.S. attorney in Utah issued a criminal indictment against Dr. Kirk Moore for running a COVID-19 vaccine scheme to defraud the government and CDC. But what if Dr. Moore was actually saving lives instead and is a hero? And since this is a criminal proceeding in federal court, Dr. Moore cannot be denied discovery to show the vaccines are deadly. This is relevant due to the opportunity for jury nullification, where a jury has the right to issue a not guilty verdict if they believe the law or the prosecution is unjust. If the judge denies more discovery, he can appeal because there's no country in the world that has correlated the death vax data and related the records. Release a record for public analysis if they keep it all hidden behind closed doors. And they all keep it hidden behind closed doors. All attempts to get the data have been rebuffed for the obvious reason of killing massive numbers of people. But the healthcare system in this country has been a failure. They're in the grip of the Rothschild genocidal program. I mean, what could be more effing obvious? a federal court has jurisdiction over all 50 states and can order the CDC in all states to turn over COVID vax records and death. You know, the records that the states and the CDC don't want made public for some reason. Gee, why wouldn't they want death records to be released? Why? I can't imagine. So Dr. Moore is now empowered to do something nobody else in the world can do, access the secret public health records of every state in the United States, which will finally show the entire world what everyone in power wants to hide from the public, the truth. I have made so many reports on the pandemic, which is fake because there was no increase in deaths in any age group, and the vax, which is real and deadly, skyrocketing death rates already from what's been available. I have reported again and again that British UK data is simply overwhelming. CDC hides it, but even the trickle that comes out is devastating. Just unbelievable how a health safety network supposed to protect our well-being, the CDC, the FBI, the NIH, all the way up to the World Health Organization, has sold out, bought and sold by the Rothschild banking empire, poisoning the public, killing the people, even little kids. 15-0 vote from the advisory panel of the CDC to give little kids 6 months and older the shot that is killing people worldwide. How could we put up with this? Steve Kirsch, right? Kirk is one of my followers on Substack, and I reached out to him today to suggest the records he should request to aid in his defense. The U.S. attorney has given Dr. Kirkmore the right to request the state and federal public health records. Now the truth will finally be exposed. Here's the executive's, wrong way. The judge can allow these records to be made public if they're in the public interest, which they will be, finally. It is the job of the courts to find the truth. Yeah, well, I've been there, done that, and that's not what they're doing in the courts of Wisconsin. I guarantee you 100%. Nothing could be further removed from the truth. And thanks to the U.S. attorney in Utah, we're finally going to find the truth. Let's hope. Not a single country, state, or even county health official anywhere in the world has correlated the vaccination data with the health data. I wonder why. But now, courtesy of the U.S. attorney in Utah, Dr. Kirk Moore, will have the right to do just that. And people are going to be stunned by what it will reveal. I promise you that. Meanwhile, this is so bizarre this happened. Report reveals the alarming reason why Bud Light and Nike are shoving transgender Dylan Mulvaney in America's face. Just awful. So I'm looking at a photograph of this transgender drinking a Bud Light. Almost no one in America had ever heard of Dylan Mulvaney, a biological male pretending to be female, before this year. Now he is suddenly all over the news. The reason behind his sudden emergence is chilling. The New York Post, good paper, exclusively revealed the Human Rights Campaign, the forefront of the leftist LGBTQ mafia, is utilizing a social credit score to force companies like Nike and Anheuser-Busch to either advance their poisonous agenda or suffer the consequences. These are precisely the tactics Chinese Communist Party pulls with their citizens and companies when they say or do something contrary to the CCP's mission. In addition, the HRC, Human Rights Campaign, publicly threatens the organization every year by saying a list of demands in person over what they want displayed in public. Clearly, Mulvaney was part of those marching orders. Now, this to me is just astonishing. The HRC is backed by hedge funds such as BlackRock and Vanguard, the top shareholders of most American publicly traded corporations. Get this. The Human Rights Campaign, HRC, Human Rights Campaign, is backed by hedge funds such as BlackRock and Vanguard. Failure to advance the woke agenda could lead to these companies pulling their funds from Nike, Anheuser-Busch, and other major companies, leading to the loss of millions of dollars. Well, I say, F them. Do it. Pull their GD money. All this means major corporations could actually lose more by not embracing the woke left than from angering conservatives or everyone else is rational. So much for the get woke, go broke slogan. Here's how the New York Post is reporting on it. Executives at companies like Nike, Anheuser-Busch, and Kate Spade, whose brand endorsements have turned controversial trans influencer Brian Mulvaney into today's woke it girl, are just virtue signaling. They're handing out lucrative deals to what were once considered fringe celebrities because they have to risk failing an all-important social credit score that could make or break their businesses. At stake is their Corporate Equality Index, ECEI score, overseen by the Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTQ plus political lobbying group in the world. F them. HRC, which has received millions from George Soros Open Society Foundation, among others, issues report cards for America's biggest corporations via the CEI, awarding or subtracting points for how well companies adhere to what HRC calls its rating criteria. The HRC lists five major rating criteria, each with its own lengthy subset for companies to gain or lose CEI points. The main categories are workforce protection, inclusive benefits, supporting an inclusive culture, corporate social responsibility, and responsible citizenship. Here it is. Get this. First time I've seen it. Woke rating. Advocacy group Human Rights Campaign introduced the 100-point equity, corporate equity index to score companies on their inclusiveness. Number one. Workforce protection, 5 points possible. No discrimination for employment, for sexual orientation, or gender identity. That would mean in hiring and firing, you don't care or you can't consider whether someone gay, lesbian, trans, whatever. I don't have a problem with that. Two, inclusive benefit, 50 points possible. Criteria here include providing health care for same-sex couples. Frankly, I don't care about that either. Three, supporting an inclusive culture. 25 points possible. Gender-neutral dress codes and trans-inclusive restroom facility possible. Look, if you want to have three, have men, women, and then trans bathroom, that's okay with me. But having trans men or women go into the men or women's bathroom is objectionable, 100% disgusting. Give a crow effing separate trans bathroom if you want. Four, corporate social responsibility, 20 points possible. Marketing or advertising to LGBTQ customers, which would include Nike and Bud Light, use a transgender spokesperson, Dylan Mulvaney. Why do you have to specifically market to trans and gays? You're talking about beer. 5, responsible citizenship, minus 25. And if you look at the first 4, it was 5 plus 50 plus 25 plus 20. That's 100 points already, but you could have up to 25 points deducted. Responsible citizenship. Points deducted if company gives money to organization whose primary mission includes advocacy against LGBTQ equality, which is not defined but could include Christian groups. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. How disgusting is that? So a company can lose CEI points if it doesn't fulfill the campaign's demand for integration of intersectionality in professional development skills base or other training, or if it doesn't use a supplier diversity program with demonstrated effort to include certified LGBTQ plus suppliers. This has just gone stark raving mad. This is just lunatic. Think about it. This is what happened to Anheuser-Busch and Nike. Stark raving mad. Under pressure of this human rights campaign, outrageous.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution
Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
By the way, we had a report of another shooting in Louisville this morning, and my dear colleague Brian Davidson has just sent me a report about how the ATF jumped the gun by 21 minutes. They were already on it. They were already on it. Stunning stuff. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. So that's really fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating stuff. Meanwhile, James Lindsay, a political podcaster, runs a site called New Discourses, told the Post the Human Rights Campaign administers the CEI ranking like an extortion racket, like the mafia. It doesn't just sit back passively either. HRC sends representative to corporation every year telling them what kind of stuff they have to make visible at the company. They give them a list of demands. If they don't follow through, there's a threat that you won't keep your CEI score as a result. Some American CEOs are more concerned about pleasing BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street Bank, who are among the top shareholders of most American publicly traded corporations, included Nike, Anheuser-Busch, and Cakes. Wait, than they are about irritating conservatives. I don't think it's just conservatives. You got to be a nut job to go along with all this trend bullshit. Absolute nut job. And that's what we seem to have with a Bud vice president stressing the need to get beer with a brand in decline away from out-of-touch frat boy image to one of inclusivity. This is the best-selling beer in the country. This is the best-selling beer in the country. Shortly before Bud Light was besieged by the Dylan Mulvaney controversy, the beer country's company vice president stressed the need to get away from the out-of-touch frat boy image to one of inclusivity. Alyssa Gordon Heinerschmidt, the self-proclaimed first female to lead the largest beer brand in the industry, shared her disdain for Bud Light's previous frat boy image during a recent podcast. Heinerschmidt described Bud Light as a brand in decline for a really long time. During the March 23rd episode of the Make Yourself at Home podcast, speaking of Bud Light, which is the most popular brand of beer in the United States as of 2019, she broke, you know, what happened to that slogan, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Heinsheimer claimed, And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. She stressed a need to evolve and elevate the Bud Light brand. What does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity, Einderschmidt declared. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different. And appeals to women and to men. And representation is sort of the heart of revolution. You got to see people who reflect you in the work, Bud Light's vice president of marketing continued. She expressed her disgust for previous marketing for Bud Light. Yeah, I mean, after all, it's only the most popular beer in America, and it's not as though you don't have a lot of choices. And we have this hangover, I mean. Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out-of-touch humor, and it was really important that we had another approach, he proclaimed. Here we have a tweet about it. Alyssa Heinerschmidt, this is from Woldrow tweeting, Alyssa Heinerschmidt, Bud Light VP of Marketing, doubles down on her extreme woke strategy to promote the declining American beer brand to young people, while smearing her former customers as fratty and out of touch. How's that working for you, lady? The brand, by the way, has gone into a precipitous decline. I mean, the stock market has just been dropping like a rock. This was so incredibly stupid. Forbes penned a profile of Beershine in February, in which she admits that female representation is a focal point for not selling beer, but getting gays and lesbians to drink it. Hirschine said Bud Light as a brand has not been everything to everyone, and as a result, we've not been mindful about where it shows up. As a mother, Heinchen says, one strategic priority was to make sure that women were represented. Female representation is a personal passion point of mine, she says. What the hell? What the hell? Would she say the same if she were, say, marketing jock straps? Why the hell does she care? If the beer is selling like mad, why should she be complaining about who's drinking it? Hirschine had mentioned prominently in a 2021 New Yorker article the rise of the COVID midlife crisis. I have a friend, Alyssa Heinerschild, who works in marketing at Anheuser-Busch. This has always been slightly hilarious because Alyssa is one of the last people I picture when I think beer. She's a former teen harpist in college. She was known for planning her schedule in 20-minute increments, not shotgunning cold ones. Yet she has excelled managing brands like Natty Daddy, Rolling Rock, and King Cobra, perhaps because she has never been overly attached. I don't get it. She's an idiot. Bud Light has been radio silent on his various social media platforms at the controversy surrounding the promotional partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney. Bud Light set Mulvaney a beer can with Dylan's face on to celebrate the influencer's 365 days of girlhood. Dylan Mulvaney celebrating being a girl for 365 days. There have been several high-profile boycotts of Bud Light since a transgender influencer promoted the Anheuser-Busch beer. Here's one we got, Kid Rock. Check this out.
Grandpa's feeling a little frisky today. Let me say something to all you and be as clear and concise as possible.
Brian, I need you to
find
after all Scott
came. Anheuser-Busch. Have a terrific day.
Thank you.
He just shot up all these beer-like cans. I mean, he did a thorough job of it. What a good, good guy. What a good, good guy. I like that. Kid Rock. I mean, Wagner Sinclair. And you couldn't see him giving the finger to Anheuser-Busch. Okay. So we got police. 4 killed in shooting at downtown Louisville building. This is one I mentioned before. Check this out. Here's a photo. Police presence near the scene of a shooting in Louisville, Kentucky, Monday, April 10th. And I've looked at the photograph. They got 6 photographs here. I've included several. None of them show any shooting. None of them show any bodies. None of them show any blood. Here we go. Louisville, Kentucky. A shooting Monday at a bank in downtown Louisville killed at least 4 people and wounded at least 8 other, police said. The suspected lone shooter was also dead. Metro Police Department Deputy Chief Paul Humphrey told reporters, encountered active gunshots still being fired inside the location at the time. Officers exchanged gunfire with a shooter who appeared to be a former employee of the bank, but it wasn't clear how he died. We do not know exactly the circumstance of his death at this time. Humphrey said at least 8 people were being treated for wounds, including 2 police officers. 1 officer and another of the wounded were in critical condition. It's all bullshit. This is all just bullshit. These are just words. Police later said on a Twitter that officers were on the scene within minutes. Calls came in for the shooting at about 8:30 a.m. In a tweet, Kentucky Governor Andrew Beshear says he was heading to the scene. Please pray for all the families impacted and for the city of Louisville. Yes. 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 Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them, because this is all just bullshit. I mean, here's a JPEG that Brian just sent. Remember the calls came in at 8:30? Here it is. I'm going to read it to you. ATF is assisting Louisville Metro Police in the 300 block of East Main Street. Once information becomes available, Louisville Metro will provide updates. We're asking everyone to stay away from the area. 809. 809. I mean, you know, the bullshit. And then, as I mentioned, you got this American Federation of Teachers, where I tweeted to them, again, I repeat, do you do any research before you take stands like grabbing their guns? You know 200,000 lives are saved annually by the defensive use of guns versus around 35,000 lost to gun violence? And I was, you do 6 times more if you took guns away, just assuming everything else remained constant, which it won't. Because once you take guns away from civilians, the perps know they got free fire zones. You're not taking their guns. How stupid. We got a bunch of morons running the country. Total morons. Again, my tweet to the American Teacher Federation headquarters. Do you do any research before you take stands like grabbing our guns? Do you know 200,000 lives are saved annually by the defensive use of guns versus around 35,000 loss of gun violence? You look at school shootings and see if they're real or fake? So here we got that tranny shooter, and he's coming in, and he's wearing one kind of sneaker coming in and another kind when he's shot down. Not only that, but his camo's different trowel. Not even a girl who's supposed to be transitioning to a boy. The shooter actually inside the building is a young boy, about maybe 18 years old, whereas the girl, she's supposed to be, what, 28? She's got a long neck. He's got a normal neck. Check this out. Go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Go to my blog. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad, just embarrassingly bad. One of these after another. I've been observing. We're going to have a shooting a day. Well, don't let yourself be played. A shooting a day? Give us a break. Completely ridiculous. But that's what they're going to do because they think we're so stupid. We can't figure it out. We're so dumb. We can't even figure out what the hell is going on here. We are pathetic. This is like Biden blaming Trump for the botched withdrawal of Afghanistan. I mean, this is on that order. Anything goes wrong in government, it's supposed to be Trump's fault. I mean, give me a break. Just awful, 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 awful. Then we get this business with Riley Gaines being ambushed and physically hit after saving women's sports speech in San Francisco State. Some 6'4" guy was in the women's and he was naked. A 6'4" guy naked in the women's room? Good God. Former NCAA swimmer Riley Gaines was barricaded in a room at San Francisco State after she was physically assaulted following a speech to students about saving women's sports at a Turning Point USA and Leadership Institute event on the campus. Louis Barker, Riley's husband, said he had a brief conversation when she was barricaded in the room for nearly 3 hours. She told me she was hit multiple times by a guy in a dress. I was shaking. It made me mad. Making me sick to feel so helpless. She was under police protection, but still was hit by a man wearing a dress. Gaines shared footage she took showing her being rushed out of the venue by police officers amid an onslaught of verbal attacks from the detractors who surrounded her. The prisoners are running the asylum at San Francisco State University. I was ambushed and physically hit twice by a man. It's proof that women need sex-protected spaces. Still, only further assures me I'm doing something right. When they want you silent, speak louder. While Gaines spoke to the students, many of whom expressed opposition to her viewpoint. Other footage showed the swimmer's remark being drowned out by a group of pro-trans protesters. Tonight, Riley Gaines spoke at San Francisco State University to share her personal story of competing against a biological male athlete, Leah Thomas, at the Women's NCAA Swimming Championship last year. In the past, her goal in speaking at universities has been to educate her peers about her experience and the impact of a growing number of biological males in women's sports will do what it does to the integrity of Title IX. She has been questioned in civil and somewhat uncivil manner about her views many times, and she thoroughly encourages diverse viewpoints and debate. Instead of a thoughtful discussion tonight at San Francisco State University, she was violently accosted, shouted at, physically assaulted, barricaded in a room by protesters, stunning in America in 2023. It's acceptable for biological male students to violently assault a woman for standing up for women's rights. This will not stop Riley from boldly educating people to the dangers of biological males in women's sports. She will continue to speak the truth against the radical left that no longer understand the difference between men and women. Gaines, a 12-time All-American swimmer, became a national figure when she objected to trans swimmer Leah Thomas participating in women's sports. Many athletes such as former Olympian Nancy Hogshead Makar, have warned biological males have a clear advantage over biological females when they compete. Of course. Does anyone have any doubt about that? The swimmer also serves as a spokeswoman for the Independent Women's Forum, which condemned the incident hours after it took place. My God. My God. Just incredible. Just incredible. So what else have we got going on here? Well, I gotta say, it's a sad day for America that bullshit like this is taking place. Sad, sad day. Unbelievable. Biden review of chaotic Afghan withdrawal blames Trump. How bad is this? President Joe Biden's administration Thursday laid the blame on his predecessor, President Donald Trump, for the deadly and chaotic 2021 withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan that brought about some of the darkest moments of Biden's presidency. The White House publicly released a 12-page summary of the result of the so-called hogwash of U.S. policies around the ending of the nation's longest war, taking little responsibility for its own actions, asserting Biden was severely constrained by Trump's decisions. It does acknowledge that the evacuation of Americans and allies should have started sooner, but blames the delay on the Afghan government and military and on U.S. military and intelligence community assessments. The brief documents drafted by the National Security Council, rather than by an independent entity, with input from Biden himself. The admin said detailed reviews conducted by the State Department and the Pentagon, which the White House said would be transmitted privately to Congress, were highly classified and would not be released publicly. That can, of course, only be because they're so embarrassing to the administration. President Biden's choices for how to execute a withdrawal from Afghanistan were severely constrained by conditions created by his predecessor, the White House summary states, noting that when he entered office, the Taliban were in the strongest military position they'd been since 2001, controlling or contesting nearly half the country. Trump responded by accusing the Biden admin of playing a new disinformation game to distract from their grossly incompetent surrender in Afghanistan. Biden is responsible, no one else. The report does fault overly optimistic intel community assessment about the Afghan army's willingness to fight. It says Biden followed military commanders' recommendations. Clearly, we didn't get it right, said John Kirby, National Security Council spokesman, but sidestep question about whether Biden had any regrets. Kirby said, the purpose is not accountability, but rather understanding to inform future decisions. The White House asserts the mistakes informed its handling of Ukraine, but the Biden admin has been credited for supporting Kiev's defense against Russia's invasion. The White House says it simulated worst-case scenarios prior to the February 2022 invasion and moved to release intelligence about Moscow's intention months beforehand. We now prioritize earlier evacuation when faced with a degrading security situation and an apparent attempt to defend its national security decision-making. The Biden admin also notes it released pre-war warnings over strong objections from senior officials in the Ukraine government. Republicans in Congress have sharply criticized the Afghan withdrawal, focusing on the death of 13 service members in a suicide bombing at Kabul Airport, which also killed more than 100 Afghans. Sean Vandeveer, a Navy veteran and founder of Afghan Evac, an effort to resettle Afghans fleeing the country, call the NSC report and abort next step. My God. But Tom Cotton tweeted that the withdrawal was an unmitigated fiasco and passing the buck, and a blame-shifting report won't change that. Right back, we'll take your calls.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm opening the lines for callers, and we have one here from area code 498. Please give us your first name, state, and join the conversation. Paul.
Hey,
go ahead.
It's 408. It's not.
Yeah, I'm just going to read it. You're right. Go ahead.
So I had this. I was reading this article this morning, and you know, and I was listening to you, and you're talking about these school shootings. You know, these school shootings are in the news quite a bit. And this one article is, for example, about the Chicago school district, right? And there's a problem with a lot of blacks. They can't read at grade level. And, in fact, they have a chart going all the way from, like, you know, second, third grade all the way to 11th grade. And it's consistent, right? It's like, for example, reading proficiency by grade level, you know, grade 3, 4, 5, 6, it's like 9.5, 10, 10, 10.5, 11, 13, 12, 10%. And so it's very, very consistent. They're just passing these students, whether they can read at grade level or not. And math is even worse. The average black that's in the Chicago school district that graduates, for example, 7.9%, not even 8%, are proficient in math. So what I was thinking, you know, is we could shoot the students that don't read at grade level or don't perform math at grade level, and this would eliminate the need for the teachers to motivate their students, because that would be the ultimate motivation. And then also these students, which are, you know, likely extremely dumb, they would not be alive to reproduce, you know, into the future incredibly dumb students. So therefore, it would solve several birds with one stone, and we could make these school shootings useful for once. What do you think about that proposal?
Yeah, Jonathan Swift, right? His modest proposal. Wow. way to go, Paul. Way to go. Just what we needed.
it would also serve to unclog these. The mythic school to prison pipeline. You know, we've all heard that talk. Oh, it's a school to prison pipeline. Well, now that pipeline would be free flowing. You know, there wouldn't be clogging at all, because. So actually, I was only going to suggest. I was listening to your show this morning. I got most of it, and you need to not take these things so seriously. Your tone. You know, you're very upset. You know, you raise your voice a lot, including even yelling into the microphone. And I know it's frustrating, but my advice as your counselor would be just to relax a little. Don't let this stuff upset you so much.
Okay, Paul, I'm all for that. Did you want to comment specifically on any of these issues? Did you catch that down in Louisville, the ATF was 1 minute early. They put out an announcement at 8:09 that they were going to assist the local police when the first report of this shooting only came in at 8:30.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say, would I care to comment? What can we say? I mean, what can be said about this? It's clown world. Okay, we're living in a Jewish contrived clown world. You know, they're pushing a ridiculous agenda that, you know, is it's doomed in the end to failure, because the more they do it, the less it's going to work, right? I mean, and it's, I don't know, I don't even know if they care. I mean, I was going to say, do they fail to realize this? But I'm not even sure they care at this point. I mean, when you look at the ridiculousness of politics and so-called news coverage, fewer and fewer people believe, you know, what's going on, right?
Yep, it's true. It's true. I can't tell if Saul is actually there, Mitchell, and would like to join the conversation. Saul from Colorado, he's welcome to do so.
Saul just sent me that message, Jim.
Okay, that's fair enough. Mitchell, your thoughts here to join with Paul on my, I could tell even listening to my...
I don't know. Maybe they sent all the extremists west. Hey, here's one for you. If you didn't hear, just come out earlier today, of course, that if you use the phrase red pill... You will be, I knew he was going to call. I just knew Bruce Lee was going to call. But if you use the word red pill, the FBI will now consider you an extremist. That red pill language and thought is considered extremist.
You're kidding me.
No.
Just use that phrase, red pill?
Yeah, I'll shoot you a story here real quick, but yeah. Hey, we got joined by Bruce from South Carolina, too.
All right, Bruce, go ahead. Lay on.
I'd say it's okay to kind of emphasize the voice a little bit, to raise it up, to emphasize what's being talked about. I also want to pass on some information. About 10 years ago, Anheuser-Busch was bought out by the Jews. InBev is the name of the company that looks like it from Argentina, but it's actually held very quietly and very privately out of, I think it's out of Germany or Switzerland or Austria. I forget which one it was, but it's all owned and operated by the Jews. And this, again, goes against the idea that the little kosher Rat Pack are not sitting on the sidelines. Three out of four of them, kosher men are bisexuals, and that was done in a survey probably about 18 years ago, in a real private survey. So they're just going to stir it up, and what they really want, Fetz, is they want the guns. And everything you hear now is always about the guns, but it's not the mental illness. And look at the number of people who are being laid off right now. If you're going to lose your income, I'm going to tell you something. I've been there a couple times, and it's not a pleasant place to be. You start doing things that you don't want to do. You get very desperate because you've got to struggle to survive, and that's what's happening. They're squeezing this country into an hourglass, and only those who have enough money are going to survive. It's not over with. It's just beginning. So be careful who's around you. I would strongly suggest people, they arm up, and when these bastards come out with these lies that they can tell, they need to be swiftly taken care of. No more excuses. This is a complete, total Jewish supremacy takeover of this country, and that's what's going on right now.
I have a hard time arguing with that. Mitchell's saying all this business about language. I mean, Mitchell, elaborate on that. This is a bit much.
Well, no, Jim, you control language, you control minds. Come on now.
I mean, tell us more of what's in this, not just red pill. Tell us more about the language we're not allowed to use anymore.
Well, you know, when you use Chad, you know, talking about a referencing,
Not say let's go Brandon anymore.
Oh, were we supposed to begin with? Oh my! No. So you know, over the last few months, the Homeland Security has been refining their definition of a domestic terrorist. So, you know, if you're a Catholic extremist, you know, you believe in the right of the child to live, you're a domestic terrorist. Now, you know, if you have taken the red pill, you're considered a domestic terrorist. Okay. So, really anything that mocks or makes fun of, the transsexual community in general, or this anything, it's people are silenced today. It's Orwellian, you know, really is. So
those are closet people that are predators and perverts, and they need to stay in the closet.
I can't argue with that, but you know, the problem is they don't want free speech. They command and demand that someone like, approve, and put a rubber stamp on it's okay, you know, to have a drag queen doing reading in a library when they literally won't let strippers come in on their poles for equal time. Sarcastically, you know, that's how sad it really is. that there's only one reason that an adult who has sexualized themselves, as drag queens have, there's only one reason that they would want to entertain and groom children. And that is to have them as sexual on a platter later, sexually served up to them. And that, you know, it's sex shit. And I just, teaching it in schools as indoctrination, that's another, oh God, you know, I mean, there is no, the science is not there. It's psychological. It's psychiatry. It's not science when you talk about the sexuality, male and female. You get into the gray areas and or the psychological areas, and nobody wants to. Go ahead, Bruce.
As long as you control the gatekeeper positions, you're not going to get your way. This is all orchestrated to destroy this country. They want the Constitution gone. And by the way, I get real annoyed when people call in to all these hosts and they start jumping up and down about the constitutional rights. They don't have any constitutional rights. None of them are under the Constitution. That's a big fallacy. You were pulled out of there many, many years ago, back in 1871 to begin with. And right now, all you have to hang on to is like civil rights out of 1964, 14th Amendment nonsense. That's all you have. You don't have constitutional rights. Bush Jr. was right. It's a piece of paper in the next room, and you don't get protected by it, period, plain and simple. Go ahead and try and argue with me about that one. You're not under the Constitution. Now they want the guns, and that's what they're going for. And all the five or six media orchestrations are helping them do it by putting out all the propaganda, and it's all Jewish propaganda. Every bit of it is. And now, General, we're going to go into it. We're going to help our allies by helping them go into Iran. No, you're not going to get our sons and daughters and our grandchildren. No more wars for Israel. I've had enough of Israel and its nonsense. It needs to be put in a closet and the key thrown away, period. To herd them into a crowd and free them off this planet.
I'm intrigued by your remark about the takeover of these companies that are promoting the tranny stuff. It is the case. I had a most interesting conversation with the head of my department when I joined the philosophy of Duluth, who is a Jewish, very smart guy. We talked about the difference between Judaism and Christianity and Islam. I was making the point, the fact that in Islam they preclude the consumption of alcoholic beverages and that there's no sex outside of marriages, which had diminished enthusiasm for conversion. He was making the point that in Christianity there are a lot of constraints on sex, but no constraints on food. And in Judaism, there are a lot of constraints on food, but no constraints on sex. And I hadn't thought about it at the time, but you're suggesting that extends to pedophilia, homosexuality, and all this other weird stuff. Am I right?
Correct. That's where it's coming from. All this nonsense that's going on in the world right now is coming straight from the Talmud. You've got to realize who's taking over everything. And by the way, I'd like to point out to some people and think about it very carefully. Let me know what were the three top religions in the world as we know them, if we've been thrown in our faces. What are the names of them?
Well, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
Let me point something out real carefully. Okay, Christianity has about 1.5 billion followers. Islam has about 1.5 billion followers. How many do the Jews have? And why aren't the Buddhists in China and India, how come they have 1.5 billion apiece, but how come they're not included? Why are the Jews always putting their feet in the damn doorway, huh? Because they're loafers, that's all they are. They feed off everybody else. Judaism's got no business being in there whatsoever, none.
Okay, but let's just take a second here, all right? Just talk about religion and so forth. I find it, well, not just annoying, but problematic, because it's these are concepts and beliefs or words written down on a piece of paper, and the main factor we have is biology, okay? Biology and intelligence and the innate nature of people. So it cannot be denied, for example, in various breeds of dogs that they have various patterns of behavior. This is well understood. I mean, in the natural world, you can observe different species of animals. They have patterns of behavior, okay? It's biological in nature. So the problem is not what's written in the Talmud. The problem is the nature of its people. Just like in blacks, right? We're talking about intelligence, all right? Cognitive function. You know, impulse control, future planning, all these things that have already been studied and documented. So it really doesn't have, in my opinion, anything to do with religion, although it can make for an interesting discussion. So, Jim, you just mentioned about when you were in college, and here's a perfect example of what's going on here. So Chicago's new mayor, right, Brandon Johnson, he came out. He was part of the the Chicago Teachers Union, right? And this is the kind of stuff he's saying. Now, he can't really believe this. So he's part of this Jewish agenda. However, there's a possibility that he could believe it. He really could be this stupid. He says that, quote, black people, right, should be removed from state-sponsored policing as a way to fight, quote, white supremacy, right? And he actually participated in this movement, Defund the Police, and where he also headed up a panel titled We Don't Call Police, a Town Hall on a Police-Free Future, right? And then he goes on to say, as part of removing ourselves from this state-sponsored policing, we also removing ourselves from the tools that have been placed against black folks that have been used, blah, 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 blah. And he just goes on and on and on. And he's the same person. The Chicago Teachers Union, right, has set this system up where they are, you know, getting away from, quote, standardized tests. Right, or holding students to, you know, conventional standards of performance, comparing them with other students. It's a form of insanity, okay? So to Bruce's point about all these Asians and Buddhism and Hinduism, all that doesn't really matter because Asians are inherently more intelligent than blacks, okay? And Asians don't have the same, shall we say, culture-destroying mindset that Jews have demonstrated for a couple of thousand years. So again, in the end, I think we're facing a biological problem as much as anything. But
it's a good point, Bruce. I mean, Paul. But the cultures all have moral standards and beliefs. And I will repeat something I've said before, which is 100% accurate. Your influences determine your beliefs, and your beliefs determine your behaviors. And when you start mixing cultures that have different types of belief systems, such as the Jewish faith, okay, by the time they hit the 13th or 14th bar mitzvahs, when they go through those, they hate anything that isn't Jewish. This is how they've been raised. And I know that there's about a handful of them I know of that have gotten away from that faith and joined the Jehovah's Witnesses. About a third of the Jehovah's Witnesses are all former Jews. But still, I believe personally, the belief system in religion is nothing more than a way to control people. So it's, your culture has its own religious belief systems in it, and its belief systems determine how all these continents need to stay apart. They can visit, enjoy each other, come and spend your money if you want to, but don't stay if you've got radical, if you go change this place right here. In other words, we need to have people in political positions whose parents are Americans, born in America, whose grandparents are born in America, nothing else. No half-breeds, no nothing else. We've had enough. American heritage needs to come back and needs to be taken over, and never allow these kosher Rat Pack members to take part in any type of social politics whatsoever. They're destroyers, and they need to be stopped.
I want to go back to this. What is this new mayor saying, that blacks should, what, not even be in the police force, that they shouldn't support law enforcement? Paul, this is pretty bizarre.
Well, I'll send you the article. I already sent you another article about the reading and math proficiency of black students in Chicago.
No, I get all that. Yeah, I know it's appalling.
Just think about that. 10%, Jim, 10%. It's unbelievable, okay? But, again, that's part of an agenda. In other words, are blacks capable of reading at a proficiency of higher than 10%? Well, of course they are, okay? What the percentage is, I'm not sure, right? I would imagine we have to go looking back quite a while to find out a more, agreed-upon, average. But this is obvious destruction of a population. All right. I mean, and of course, the black population has always been targeted for destruction by the Jews, and they're using them against us. So yeah, he believes in defunding the police. He believes that blacks should be removed from so-called state-sponsored policing. So whatever that means, you'd have to ask him. But these are his words. You can
What's your interpretation? In other words, he wants there to never be any black police officers to arrest a black culprit so that it can always be claimed to be racism? Is that the idea?
Well, I don't know if that's his idea, but I would be in favor of that. I don't think that any white police officer should be forced to work in the black community and deal with blacks. I think that they should.
Paul, I'm trying to figure out his political angle in saying something so incredibly stupid.
Well, look, I mean, Jim, if you look at his face, okay, I'm looking at his face right now. I'm reading the words that he supposedly said. You know, this is obviously a promotion. In other words, just like Lori Lightfoot, where did she come from? You know, who sponsored her? What money was behind her? We cannot trust any of these elections anymore. I think that they have penetrated not just the national and the state elections, but of course, all the way down, they're controlling the major cities as far as their local elections. And I just don't believe anymore that the candidates, the things that they're saying, or the elections themselves are in any sense real anymore. And it's almost like we're watching a bad dystopian movie. We're being forced to watch the dystopian movie, and we're being conditioned that it's normal.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Paul. Don't worry, Gavin Newsom's going to run to save women's penises in 2024.
No, look, this is going to happen. It's like, who would have predicted? Let's say the people predicted we would see and face what we saw and faced in 2020 with the elections and with everything else and the direction our culture is, you know, heading, promotion of all the things that are being promoted. You know, you wouldn't. People 20 years ago, 30, they would not have believed it. But here it is, right in our faces.
Amen.
And it's because of tolerance. Like, what do they preach all the time? We have to be tolerant. And no, not tolerant. And
well, Paul, when we write,
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to step on you.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Well, it's a good point, but see, whenever you rise up, as in January 6th, people like Merrick Garland walk in there and start making all these fabrications and cost you an arm and a leg, you go broke. We got people from Charlottesville who are in prison right now for nonsense. I mean, these people, the types of people like that have got to be removed, and they've got to be removed one way or the other. It doesn't make any difference. They've got to go because this is not America.
Well, again, you know, I think Jim has covered very well, and other people also, what January 6th was and what January 6th was not. And let's face it, there was no insurrection. There was no rebellion, just like the Canadian truckers. That was no rebellion. That was no insurrection. It was just a bunch of people walking around because nothing really serious is being done. These people, whether they're in the corporate world or the government world, they continue to do and say things that in the past would incurred the wrath of the populace, and they probably would.
Paul, I got Brew here, and I want to squeeze him in while we got a couple of minutes left. Brew, go ahead, give us your thoughts. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, just to clear up the mayor thing, he doesn't want any blacks to be policed, they're not upholding to the law, so no police forces should be able to watch or arrest or reprimand or detain black people whatsoever. It's okay to have police forces to watch the white people, but not black people. And then further to that, he's like, and blacks should be able to loot, no problem. They loot all day and pay no consequences for it. Just leave them alone. Let them loot and leave them alone. Okay, those are his stances. So it's all radical, communist, Bolshevik, destroy everything. Destroy businesses, destroy morality, put people in despair, so on and so forth. This is pure Bolshevism. Set them loose. And they put another radical in there.
Brew, you're telling me there shouldn't be any police forcing of any black community?
Exactly. Pretty much any brown people, period. If you're white people, fine. Yeah, you police force them all day, arrest them. They should be able to hold those laws, but not any black people and or brown people.
Well, you know that. I mean, the crime rate is more crimes are committed by black and brown overwhelmingly. I mean, that's like 90-95% of the crime in the United States.
Bolshevism, destroy thing. Have a good day.
You guys are great. I thank you for calling in. I wish we had more time today. Glad to have you all here. Great to hear from you, Boo. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...